It's Revelation now, please, chapter number 8. I'm supposed to read the scriptures. Am I going to preach after this, or you have another hymn, brother? I'm preaching. Okay, great. I'm just making sure that I'm not going to go up and down ever again. Sorry about that, my brothers and sisters, but I'm so happy that you are with me and giggling about that. You know, we are a family. We could giggle about things, and that's okay. Thank you for those wonderful smiles. And it's just so lovely to be with my church family. And so, these are things that we can't smile about, though. So, we move the smiles, because we're going to talk about judgment here this evening. But I think at the end, we'll have a comforting smile in our faces that our God is a trustworthy God. And that's what I want to leave with us at the end of this service. So, Revelation chapter 8, 7 through 13. As we tackle head on the trumpet judgments, well, the first four of them. God's word says, the first angel sounded. And hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Dearly beloved, we are now in the tribulation period. And here behind me, as we discuss the trumpet judgments, is the biblical prophecy timeline. And you can see right away that, oops, it's not there yet. Okay. Sorry about that. The 7-year tribulation is after the rapture. And the 7-year tribulation is divided into two, the first 3.5 and the second 3.5. And the second 3.5, we may be able to call it as the Great Tribulation because of the intensity of the judgment poured out into that. So the tribulation period is otherwise known as the time of Jacob's trouble, the day of wrath, Zephaniah calls it as such. And so this is a 7-year period in the end times in which humanity's decadence and depravity will reach its fullness, with God judging accordingly. Also, during that time, Israel will repent of their sin and receive Jesus as the Messiah, setting up a time of great blessing and restoration, which will be the next stage of this prophetic timeline, the millennial reign of Christ. Now, as a general observation, the tribulation period will have a sense that the judgments will get more intensified from the beginning to the end. It's likened to a mother's birth pains during labor. Its frequency and intensity increase. We had just finished discussing the 7 sealed judgments, and we have seen how terrible they were. But hold on to your seats, buckle up, because again, this will intensify as we go into chapter 8 now, and the angels here, well, the four first angels will sound off the trumpets, the trumpet judgment. So in verse number 6, just to provide a bit of a context here, John saw 7 angels. 7 angels who had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And here now we see the first trumpet. The first trumpet. We see here that when the angels sounded, John said, hail and fire followed, mingled with blood.
and they were thrown to the earth. And the result is a third of the trees were burned up and all green grass was burnt up. Now both hail and fire are associated with divine judgment, especially in the Old Testament. Look with me to a few passages here from the Old Testament, starting with Exodus chapter 9. For hail, for example. Where do we find it here in Exodus chapter 9? That God used hail as judgment. Exodus chapter 9, verses 13 through 25. Ah, you would know this, dearly beloved, because this is the time when God cast these plagues in Egypt during Moses' time when he was asking, commanded Pharaoh to let the people of God go, but he would not. So this is the seventh plague. Then the Lord said to Moses in verse 13, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow, says the Lord, about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. And so it happened, dearly beloved. It happened, verse 25, and the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived, where there was no hail. So here's one instance in the Old Testament where God used hail to judge. There's another instance in Job chapter 38, if you want to check it out, 22 to 23. Job 38, 22 to 23. But fire, I believe, is a more common picture in our mind as far as God's judgment is concerned. And we see it in Genesis 19. And I'm sure you are familiar with this one. Genesis 19, verse number 24. What place was being judged here? Sodom and Gomorrah. So we go to Genesis chapter 19, verse number 24. God's word says, let's begin at verse 23. The sun had risen up on the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. So that's one example. Another example is in Psalm 11, verse number 6. Psalm 11, verse number 6, another passage that will tell us that God uses fire to judge. Psalm 11, verse number 6. David says here, upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. There's another passage in Ezekiel, we will not go there. But we see from the Old Testament that the hail and fire are God's instruments for judgment upon the earth. And we see here, going back to Revelation chapter 8, that both are thrown to the earth. They're both thrown to the earth. This sounds like they're both raining down on the earth. We don't know exactly where this is coming from. It doesn't say here in the passage. But if we connect this to the occurrence on verse number 5, where the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth, we can say that this is coming from the heavens. And the sheer magnitude of it is really astounding, that we can understand scientifically that catastrophic volcanic eruptions may easily cause this, as we have seen in history. Years ago, 1990, it was that Mount Pinatubo, I don't know if you have heard of this, it's a mountain north of us in the island of Luzon, which is in the middle part, it's around 2-3 hours away from Manila, spew out when it erupted. And I remember that the news said it really influenced the temperature around that region because the atmosphere was covered with ash. But this one, dearly beloved, we see fire. We have seen footages of volcanic eruptions where there's lava being thrown. Volcanoes can spew out hot, flaming lava, which now, if we see this phrase mingled with blood, can be a possibility. Once this happens, one author says, the atmosphere is dirtied and could cause powerful thunderstorms resulting to hail. These are all under God's almighty power when He allows this to happen. When volcanic eruptions become so frequent during the Great Tribulation that again, hail and fire are thrown down to the earth. And the results, again, look at it, at the later part of verse number 7. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Can you imagine? One third of all the earth's trees burned up. Now, I know here in Blue Mountains, you are not unfamiliar with this, because you have seen trees burning somewhere when you lived here for many years. I personally haven't experienced it yet, although I've seen a few small ones. They're controlled ones, I believe. I can see the smoke. You can smell the smoke. And you can see that this really a change in the atmosphere. And can you imagine the devastation of those fruit-bearing trees when one-third of all the trees on the earth will be burned up? Imagine the massive economic downplay of that and the food shortage that will come after that. And not only that, God's word says all green grass was burned up. This alone can affect the entire agricultural world. Because as you know, a lot of animals are dependent on grass for food. And so animals will starve. And imagine the stench of the burning all over the world. It can be smelt. And also, since this grass and trees are near water supplies also will be affected. But hold on, because we go into the second trumpet. The second angel now sounded the second trumpet, verses 8 and 9. And something, says John, like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. While the first trumpet judgment affected much of the land, right? Trees, forests, grassland. This time, the second trumpet judgment affected much of the sea, which we now know is a huge source of much of our key supplies. Key sea supplies. Something, it says here, something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. So it's not really a mountain. It's something like a mountain. Now think with me. I read a lot of other commentators and they thought about it. What is this something like a mountain that was burning? And a lot of them suggested that this is not a mountain exactly, literally, but it could be a large meteorite or an asteroid hitting the ocean. It looks like a massive mountain hitting the oceans. Could it be a large meteorite? Could it be a large asteroid? I've seen many movies that depict this. Asteroids, meteorites, and I can even somehow still hear all the dramatic music behind it. What destruction with all the force and energy and explosion that that kind of catastrophe would produce? One author said, like that of hundreds of atomic bombs. Not just one. hundreds of atomic bombs going off at the same time when that asteroid or meteorite hits the ocean. So that the third of the sea became blood. Unbelievable, unspeakable result. Now, this may refer to the chemical composition of the sea, which will be altered due to the burning there of the asteroid of the meteorite due to the heat. Or it may be due to the death of many people and sea life. Because it says here as well, a third of the living creatures in the sea died. Seafood supply will be greatly diminished. I could think of the Philippines where we're greatly dependent on the ocean for food. Can you imagine the Filipinos suffering because of that? Because we're an archipelago and almost everything about our lives surrounds water. Now, it also says here that a third of the ships were destroyed. Ports will be destroyed. Other things on the sea or the coasts will be laid to waste by gigantic tsunamis. Never seen before. And here's the picture of a few of the things that I have seen in my life traveling around that's on the coast. This one you see is the Singapore seaport. This one is the Hong Kong airport. That's just literally a piece of land that they reclaimed on the ocean. This is, oh, you don't know that one. This one is one of the oil rigs in the middle of the ocean. Just imagine if tsunamis hundreds of meters up goes to the coastal plains and hit all of this infrastructure. What would happen to Sydney? What would happen to the Blue Mountains? We're so far away, but I mean, with that kind of speed of the tsunami, can it reach the Nepean River? It may. Just imagine the devastation, the cities, the towns, the houses, the airports, the seaports, ships and cruises, boats, submarines, deep sea oil rig platforms will be all destroyed. A third of the ships will be destroyed. But hold on, there's a third trumpet. When the third angel sounded, and here we see a great star falling from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. So when the third angel sounded the third trumpet, the word of God says a great star fell from heaven. Or the Greek word here for star can refer to any celestial body other than the sun and moon, according to John MacArthur. The star here is described to be burning like a torch. Burning like a torch. So if it's described like burning like a torch, two things come into your mind. It's bright. It's burning like a torch. And then also, it's hot. It's bright. And it's hot. So if you think of it, what will fall from heaven into the earth that is bright and hot at the same time? Again, research. I researched about it. Read a few Christian scientists and theologians. And they said, and I would like to agree, this may be a meteorite or a comet. Torches, according to one author, were used in ancient times to describe meteors and comets. So this great star fell on a third of the rivers. Look at what it's gonna affect. Third of the rivers in verse number 10. And on the springs of water. It seems like that this star disintegrated because look at the expanse that it can affect. Third of the rivers. It's not just one specific place. So it means that this star or this comet or this meteor disintegrated most probably when it approached our atmosphere so that it hit one third of the rivers of the earth. And of course also affecting one third of the springs of water. Now, this catastrophe affected the source of potable drinking water. Now, I have a picture here next of our own source of water here in Sydney. I had the privilege to go to Warragamba Dam. Mike and Rob took me there. I'm very thankful. I'm able to see the beauty there and the construction marvel of Warragamba Dam. It's massive. It's huge. And what I saw there, I realized when I was watching all those videos and those pamphlets, was that I only am seeing a portion of it, a small portion of the supply. So when you see the map, wow, it goes way up there, way everywhere. Now imagine, dearly beloved, because it says here, where your water comes from every day, Warragamba Dam supply about 1.5 billion liters of drinking water to about 5.3 million people in their homes and businesses. About 80% comes from Warragamba Dam. The rest comes from a mix of other dams, the Hawkesbury Nepean River, and the Sydney desalination plant at Kurnell. Imagine if one third of the supply will not no longer be available. That's more than 1.5 billion people who will suffer without drinking water. What will happen when this massive supply is destroyed? Even in the Philippines, we're already having problems with potable water. We don't even have the comet yet. How much more when this judgment is going to destroy whatever is left there? Now, this star has a name. Wormwood. Interestingly, this is the only appearance of this word in the New Testament. One author commented that this is a shrub. Wormwood is a shrub whose leaves are used in the manufacture of absinthe, a liquor so toxic that its manufacture is banned in many countries. So wormwood, though, in the Old Testament, is mentioned 8 times. Once in the New Testament, 8 times in the Old Testament. And do you know where it is associated? It's associated with bitterness, poison, and death. Bitterness, poison, and death. A few passages, dearly beloved. Let's go to Deuteronomy 29. So this word, again, is related to bitterness, poison, and death. And we'll see why. Deuteronomy 29, verse number 18. So that there may not be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. So here it's compared to people who are serving the gods of nations. They're called bitterness or wormwood. And God renewed his covenant here. And that's the words that God gave here in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Now jump to Proverbs chapter 5, another passage that mentions this word. Proverbs chapter 5 and in verse number 4. And here we're talking about the peril of adultery. And the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 5:4, but in the end, she, the adulterous woman here, the immoral woman here, is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. That's why the father here, the writer of this book, says, my son, pay attention and do not go in with her. She is bitter. She will cause bitterness, poison. She will cause death in your life. Another passage is in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 15. And then we'll jump to chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 15. Let's see here what we have as far as this word is concerned. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, these people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. And he said, I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them. God is talking about his judgment to his own people because he mourns after his people. They have not obeyed him. They have followed after other gods. One more, Jeremiah 23, verse number 15. Just a few pages. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. And God is talking here about false prophets and empty oracles. And God said that he will make them eat and drink of this wormwood. So again, this word, if you find them in the Old Testament, these verses use wormwood that is connected with either food or especially drink that is poisoned. Poisoned water, bitter water. And so it denotes death. So dearly beloved, go back to Revelation chapter 8 and we see the third trumpet here as being explained to be that star, which is called wormwood. The name of the star is wormwood. And because of the star falling from heaven, what happened is the waters became wormwood, bitter, poison, death. And look at the result. Many men died from the water because it was bitter. Because it was bitter. Now, you have noticed now, dearly beloved, the phrase one-third. One-third. A third, a third, a third, one third. You see that pattern of one third destruction demonstrates that these are not natural events. This is not just random events happening. These are divine judgments. God has a control on where it happens, when it happens, and what type of catastrophe it will produce into the earth. And there's a control of some sort here. Only one third. One third. One third. This is not coincidence. This is God's sovereignty over his judgments. So many men will die because of the water. It's poison. It's bitter. It's toxic. Instead of sustaining life, the water becomes a source of death. Now, this may be a picture of God judging what men believed to be the source of life. Remember that in evolution, they believe that the first life came from primordial soup. From water. That's where the tiny particles evolve. And this may be one author interestingly said, and I caught that because I love discussions about this, that God was judging the very thing men think is the source of life. No, the source of life is God. It's not water. So that's the third trumpet. And the last trumpet we're going to discuss this evening is the fourth one from verses 12 through 13. So when the fourth angel sounded the fourth trumpet, a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. When the fourth angel sounded the fourth trumpet, these celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars were darkened, a third of them. Now, they will be darkened so much so, it says here that a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So it's not like their brilliance reduced to two-thirds. No, what it says here is this, that one-third of the day was darkened. And one-third of the night grew even darker because, of course, it's already dark by itself. This partial eclipse, if you may, is temporary, as God will later increase the amount of heat coming from the sun if you read Revelation chapter 16, 8 to 9. This time with the bowl judgments. So at this point in the trumpet judgments, yes, the light will be reduced. One third of the day will be darkened. But on the bowl judgments, 8 to 9, listen to this. It says, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. So there was a back and forth here of the celestial bodies under the control of God. So the results, going back to Revelation chapter 8, is again unbelievably unspeakable. When the angel sounded the trumpet and the third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon and the third of the stars was struck, so that a third of them were darkened, a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night, it says here, and I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to stand. Now we know, dearly beloved, of course, that the earth is very dependent on the sun and the moon. You who study science, we know that there's a lot about the earth that is dependent on that. But since they are darkened, a major shift on their light will create havoc on the earth. Tides will be affected. Surface temperature on the earth will be affected. Weather patterns will be so out of whack. And imagine the further destruction of crops and animals, topography and man-made infrastructure. There will be further death, of course, especially in the warmer regions where people are not really used to colder temperatures. And these celestial judgments, like that of hail and fire, have been prophesied. In the Old Testament, Ezekiel did it. Joel prophesied it. Amos prophesied it. But I want to emphasize Isaiah's prophecy about it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah 13, 9 to 10. Isaiah 13, 9 to 10. Isaiah said, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. Hundreds of years before Christ was born, Isaiah prophesied this already, and we see celestial judgments here, right here in Isaiah's prophecy. But Jesus Christ also predicted this. He did this in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke. But let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse number 25. And this is a section about the coming of the Son of Man. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So this has been prophesied, dearly beloved, This has been said hundreds of years before Christ, and then Christ also, and then here John, 60 years after the birth of Christ, had given this prophecy about the fourth trumpet. But look at verse 13 as we end this evening. And John described this, and he said, "And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth.'" The imagery here is that of a strong bird of prey rushing to consume its victim. It's like an eagle, you know, seeing his prey down there in the ocean, and he swoops down and takes the fish out of its home and flies off and eats the fish. It's like that. The imagery is a strong bird of prey. You know, the ancient Greek words for angel and eagle are very close in spelling, said one author. Some ancient versions say that it is an eagle flying through the midst of heaven, making this cry. It is a cry of warning that the remaining last three judgments will be more severe. God is not done. That's why we see there the loud voice saying, not just one woe, not just two woes, but three woes declared. Woe here is used throughout the scripture as an expression of judgment, of destruction and condemnation. God's wrath and judgment will come upon the inhabitants of the earth. That's what's said here in verse number 13. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Inhabitants of the earth is a description phrase used in Revelation for those who reject the gospel. For those who will not trust Christ as Savior. Again, may I remind you that if you have not trusted Christ as Savior, if you have not placed your faith in Christ as your Savior, when rapture happens before the tribulation, you will not be included in the rapture. You will be left behind here on earth to suffer this great tribulation period of 7 years. And you will need to go through these kinds of judgments. First, of course, the seal judgments. Then these trumpet judgments. And the angel says here, woe, woe, woe. Oh friend, if you're here tonight and you're not sure of your salvation, you have not trusted God as your Savior, I am calling out to you. You must repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior, or else you'll be part of this phrase, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels are about to sound. If this will not lead you to your knees before the Lord to accept Him as Savior, remember there are more coming. There are more coming. And although they will acknowledge, the people here, the inhabitants of the earth, those who will not trust Christ as Savior, they acknowledge that the disasters have come from God, the sad thing is they will not repent. Remember in Revelation chapter 6, 15 to 17, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come and who is able to stand? Here they know it's God. But instead of going to God and humbling before God, they won't. They'd rather have the rocks fall on them. That's why the call, friends, before rapture happens, before tribulation happens, please, you must repent and trust Christ as your Savior. I know some people are playing, toying around with these kinds of prophecies. They're making jokes about it. But this is no joke. This is God pouring His judgment on the earth. You don't want to be left behind on this earth during this time. So as I end, I want to give three observations on the first four trumpets. The first observation is this: God demonstrates His lordship over created order. You see here his control over meteors and asteroids and the sun and the moon and the volcanoes. God is God, dearly beloved. God is God, not Mother Earth. More people are trusting Mother Earth. They think Mother Earth is God. No, it's not. Only God is God and everything is under his control. Don't trust Mother Earth. Mother Earth cannot save you. Only God can save you. So God demonstrates here his lordship over created order. And number two, God demonstrates his mercy through partial judgments. Again, going back to that phrase, one third. Could he have destroyed everything? Oh yeah. Can he do that? Oh yes, he can. But oh, you can see his mercy. One third only. The mercy of God through his partial judgments, giving men, sinful men, space for repentance. Do we deserve this? No, we don't. But that's why, my friend, again, I'm calling out to you. You need to humble yourself before God now, because there will come a time that the judgment will no longer be partial. It will be complete. It will be devastatingly eternal in nature. But number three, God demonstrates his commitment to his word. We have seen prophecies from the Old Testament. And it's here in Revelation telling us it will happen. His word will stand. He will do what he says he will do. God is no liar. And God is powerful enough to design every single event that will lead to the specifics of all of his prophecies. He is committed to his word. Again, remember from Matthew, that one jot or tittle shall pass away. The word of God will never pass away, even though heaven and earth will pass away. And so, dearly beloved, that is the comfort we have when studying these kinds of passages. Assured as his prophecies are going to be fulfilled, God will also fulfill his promise that for all of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, to you, my brother, to you, my sister, we don't sit down studying the scripture with fear in our hearts. No. What we have is joy and peace that we say, we will not go through this anymore. Unless you're a post-trib kind of person. If you want to stay during the tribulation period, stay behind. I won't. So if you're a brother and a sister, the calmness of our soul is this, Lord, I won't be there during this time. And thank you for your promise in your word that there is now no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I believe tribulation is a form of condemnation. That's why I don't believe that we'll be here. You and I will be in heaven having the marriage supper of the Lamb, celebrating with the Lord, whom we love and serve and yearn to see with our very eyes. So trust his word. His word will stand. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you are a trustworthy God. You are powerful. You are true. You are faithful. And we pray, Lord, for those who have not trusted you yet. I pray that whoever is listening to this message, whether here in the hall or online, that person, if not saved yet, Lord, will come to realize that he or she is bound to the eternal judgment that you have prepared, a lake which burns with fire and brimstone, the second death. Oh, I pray this message will lead him or her to his or her knees, repent of their sins and trust Christ as Savior. Call upon you because you have promised you will save. For us who are saved, Lord, please fill our hearts with thanksgiving and praise for the salvation you have given to us. We don't deserve it, dear Lord, but here we are by your grace, having peace that passes all understanding, knowing that all we are looking forward to are rewards an eternal joy. Thank you for your word stands. In Jesus' name, amen.